All right, our Challenge Ministries video congregation, if you can do so, get your Bible, open it to Romans chapter 11. Hopefully we will cover verses 17 through 24. I've entitled this, The Severity and Goodness of God. We find both attributes in God, His severity against sin, His goodness towards sinners, the severity and goodness of God. As we go into today's message, we'll be picking up in Romans chapter 11, beginning with verse 17. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving the unlovable. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for loving us when we were still dead in our trespasses and sins. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving us when we were so unlovable. And yet, you loved us in all of our unworthiness, in all of our strife, in all of what we were, and knowing what we would become before we became yours. You knew that. You understood us when we did not understand ourselves. You knew our bloodline. You knew what was in the bloodline. You knew the sins of the fathers that we would embrace and that we ourselves would commit. And yet in it all and through it all, you loved us. I want to thank you for loving me. I want to thank you for loving the unlovable. And I want to thank you for your patience, your goodness, your grace, your mercy. And fathers, we go into this time together in the Word of God. As we look at your severity as well as your goodness, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to anoint me to declare these biblical truths, these spiritual truths for these, the people of God, and for those who perhaps will yet become the people of God. And if you'll do this to the increase of the kingdom of God, we'll be appreciative. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. In our text, Paul is making the case that while God has, for the moment, turned his attention of the Jews to the Gentiles, turned his attention from the Jews to the Gentiles, but that does not mean that he is through with the Jews, not at all. He is not the least bit through with the Jews. You see, there's coming a day of restoration between God and Israel. Make no mistake about it, my friend. There is coming a day of restoration between God and Israel. To go into today's message, I'd like to back up to verses 1 through 5 in Romans 11 to set the tone for where we're going. In Romans 11, 1, I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleaded with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets, torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Even in this day, there is still a remnant. The remnant is not nearly as large as I have told you in recent messages, as we would like to think that it is, but likewise it is not as small as we sometimes think of it. But God has a remnant. I'm in that remnant. If you have been born again, you are in that remnant. God always keeps a remnant. Paul is making the case that though Israel had, for the most part, rejected the Messiah, they themselves would not be rejected. Did you hear me? Paul is saying to the nation of Israel that even though they had rejected the Messiah, they would not be rejected, and he's making that case in the scriptures before us. Romans 11:17, and of some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. And if some of the branches, some not all, yes, Israel as a nation, for the most part, rejected Christ as the Messiah. They had him crucified. And yet Paul is saying to them, and if some of the branches were broken off, and you Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them and with them and became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Some, not all, some rejected him, but not all. And then in their rejection, Jesus turned. God turned to the wild olive tree Gentiles. We are a part of that wild olive tree. Those of us who are Gentiles, let's face it. Only two categories of people on the face of the earth, Jews and Gentiles. And we as Gentiles, now the Jews, of course, were God's favored people. He was going to favor them with the birth of the Messiah. He was going to favor them with signs and wonders, miracles. He was going to favor them with his presence. And they rejected it. They rejected it. And now we have been grafted in among them. Yes, the Jews, chosen by God, seed of Abraham, but we have now been grafted in among them. And as such, we have become partakers of the root, Jesus. Jesus is the root and all that he is. And who can say, who can really truly understand all that he is? But we, those of us Gentiles who have now been born again, we believed, we received, we've been born again, and now we've been partakers of that root, which is Jesus, and all that he is. Don't let that phrase escape you. We have become a part of all that he is. Romans 11:18. Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Don't belittle the Jews. Don't become antagonistic. Don't become prejudiced against the Jews. Don't badmouth them. Don't belittle the Jews. If you do, boast in your own acceptance. Yes, boast in your acceptance. Don't belittle them because they rejected him, but be thrilled, be happy, be joyful that you have been accepted. But don't forget the source. Don't forget the source of your joy. Don't forget the source of your peace, your happiness. Don't forget the source of your salvation. Don't forget the source of your eternal life, Jesus. Jesus is the source. He supports those born again, both Jew and Gentile. Now, don't let that escape you. There is a lot of animosity in many areas of the world today where there is animosity against the Jews. But understand this, God is not through with the Jews, not by a long shot. He is not through with the Jews. And right now, those of us who've been born again, both Jew and Gentile, those born again, both Jew and Gentile, we make up the kingdom of God. We make up the people of God. We make up the family of God. We are the children of God. Romans 11:19. Paul goes on, you will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Yes, that's true. They were broken off. They were set aside for a season, And they're still in that season. But understand this, there's coming a day of reconciliation between Jews, the nation of Jews, the land of the Jews, and God himself, Christ Jesus. Yes, they've been broken off. That means set aside for a season, not for all of eternity. They've been set aside for a season. It is as you watch the unveiling of the events of the world, and as you watch the end of the world moving inexorably towards its fulfillment, and we don't know what the time frame is, that will depend largely on the church. That will depend largely on the church, her faithfulness to God, her loyalty, how he can trust them to be to him and for him all that he wants them to be. Yes, there's coming a time. There's coming a time when the nation of the Jews will once again hold a position of extreme prominence and priority in the kingdom of God. So don't belittle the Jews. Understand this. Those who have been born again are your brother and your sister in the Lord. And God is not through with the Jews. God is not through the Jewish nation. You know, sometimes I'm somewhat amazed at the animosity that can be reflected towards the Jews. But the Word of God says, you will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Romans 11:20. Well said. Well said. Yes, you're right. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. That is why they were broken off and you were grafted in. Why? Because of their unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Don't be eat up with pride. Don't assume a position of arrogance. Do not elevate yourself beyond that which you're to be elevated. No, yes, they've been broken off, Gentiles. We have been grafted in. Why were they broken off? In their rejection of the Messiah. But understand this. Every single living soul who has ever lived and who will ever live either accepted or received faith in God, and since the Messiah has come, since his virgin birth, his sinless life, his vicarious death on the cross, we have a clearer picture of God's plan of salvation and of eternity than any of our predecessors. We have the complete picture, for the most part. We see it in more of its fullness. But the Jews were rejected by God for a season. Hear me carefully. For a season, because of their rejection of the Messiah. They have been set aside. They, the Jews, have at this point in time been set aside until the times of the Gentiles, until our time is finished. Our time is up. Yes, make no mistake about it. They have been set aside until the times of the Gentiles, but understand this, they can and they will be grafted back in. Did you hear me? They can and they will be grafted back into the family of God, the kingdom of God. Now, as to when that will occur, understood in different ways by different people. The question is, what will prompt that action? Now, that's where I'm going to be very specific. We know that the Jewish nation, those who are willing to believe and receive, can be grafted back in. The question is, when are they going to be grafted back in? When is that going to occur? We're moving into end times. We're moving into eschatology. What will prompt that action? Go to the book of the Revelation. Read it for yourself. And I can tell you unapologetically what my position is. My position is that this will occur among the Israelites, among the Jews, when they are facing a one-world adversary. The Bible makes it very clear. The Word of God makes it very, very clear. There is going to be a one-world order. And as I have told you time and time again, and even more so recently, you need to watch and be sensitive to what is going on in the nations of the world. Who is aligning with who? And who is not aligning with who? And what is being put together? You need to watch the nations of the world, not just this nation. You can't be just concerned with this nation. You must watch the nations of the world. You have to understand that Satan has a plan. Satan has a plan. His plan is a one world order. That is his plan. He wants to rule. He wants to control. He wants to bring about a one world order. But his plan has been interrupted. Satan's plans have been interrupted from time to time by the church. Now, hear me very carefully now. When it comes to end times, nobody, not a living soul on the face of the earth, can tell you when the end time is going to be. I have here in my radio studio a full-blown advertisement that was in every major newspaper in the world simultaneously that the Messiah is now here. Well, of course, it didn't generate the attention that they wanted it to, so he didn't really show himself that well. But understand this. This world is in a condition of flux. It's in a condition of change. And Satan has a plan. And that plan is a one world order in which he will be the one world adversary of the nations of the world. And this will continue. This will continue. There will be interruptions in his plan. But that's up to the people of God. As we pray, as we give ourselves to submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, as we go before his throne in intercessory prayer, day after day after day, but we will continue to interrupt the satanic agenda. Do you understand that as a child of God, as one born again, as one with access to the throne of Jehovah God, through Christ Jesus, do you understand that you can influence and affect worldwide conditions? You, see, that is why we are still here. God has turned all of his work over to the church. You've heard me say that how many times? I picked that up from Miss Bertha Smith, that Southern Baptist missionary who was in China. God has turned all of his work over to the church. It's who we are. It's what we are. We are the body of Christ on earth today. And as the body of Christ on earth today, we have access to the throne of God. We have direct access into the presence of holy God himself. So you have to understand this. There is a satanic plan in operation in the world. He wants to bring about a one world order. It doesn't happen overnight. There is an increasingly, ever-increasing movement in that direction by the nations of the world as they deny the validity of the Word of God, as they deny the reality of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ Jesus, as Satan continues to sow seeds of doubt and seeds of wrong expressions of religion in the nations of the world. That is why the bride of Christ, the blood-bought body of Christ, those of us who've been born again, we've got to be salt. We've got to be light. And we've got to exercise our throne rights day after day after day, going before the throne of God in intercessory prayer, interrupting and holding at bay, if you will, the satanic agenda. There's going to be interruptions. But until that point in time, you have to understand, God already has the plan. He has the final plan, and he's turned all of his work over to the church. We are the ambassadors for Christ. We are the believer priesthood. We are children of the Most High God. We have access to the throne of God. You, as one who's been born again, cleansed by the blood of Christ Jesus, adopted into the family of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, you have direct access to the throne of God. And you can take elected officials before the throne of God. You can take the nations of the world before the throne of God. You can take the events of the world before the throne of God. You can penetrate the darkness and the deception of the satanic world that's in our world today. You can penetrate that darkness and deception by prayer. Prayer. Faithfulness to God and prayer. From a eschatological point of view, the end times. I'm going to read to you from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. And I'm going to give you a couple of different translations. In Zechariah 13, 7, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones." Let's read that in another translation. "O sword, against my shepherd, the man who is my partner, says the Lord of heaven's armies, strike down the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn against the lambs." Zechariah 13:8, "And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it." In the New Living Translation, two-thirds of the people of the land will be cut off and die, says the Lord, but one-third will be left in the land. Zechariah 13:9, "I will bring the one-third," listen carefully, "I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God." Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. Look at that again. Zechariah 13:9, "And I will bring the one-third through the fire," "will refine them as silver is refined, test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God." Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah forever. Amen. Reading that in another version, "I will bring them," that group, "through the fire and make them pure. I will refine them like silver and purify them like gold. They will call on my name." Now you can go to Zechariah chapter 14, verses 2 through 9, and get that same truth reaffirmed. Now we come to Romans chapter 11 and verse 21. "For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either." You see, the rejection of Christ cost Israel heavily. They rejected Christ. They crucified Christ. In their rejection, they crucified the King of Glory. They crucified the Messiah. They crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says in Romans 11:21, "For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either." You see, the rejection of Christ cost Israel, and it cost Israel heavily. Firstly, Rome. Rome occupied the nation. Rome was controlling the nation. They were in subservience to the nation of Rome. And the Romans killed many, many hundreds of thousands of Jews. And then later, Germany. We all know what happened in the Second World War. We know what the Germans did to the Jews. Once again in Romans 11:21, "For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either." Individuals, the nation as a whole, Jews as individuals, have suffered persecution and prosecution. But once again in Romans 11:21, "For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either." Romans 11:22, "Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fail, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. His severity in its temporary rejection of the Jews. They have suffered immeasurably in past centuries because of the rejection of the Messiah. He came to the nation, he himself born of a Jew, he himself Jewish. God had to have a people. You go all the way back to Abraham, and you see that God take a man like Abraham, and from Abraham he brings forth Isaac, and from Isaac Jacob, and from Jacob the 12 sons from whom he formed the 12 tribes of Israel. There had to be a people that God could manifest himself to, and there had to be a people that God could manifest himself through. Did you get that? There had to be a people that God could manifest himself to, and there had to be a people that God could manifest himself through. He chose a man named Abraham, who we now know to be the father of the Jews. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. And it was from the 12 sons that we have the tribe of Israel. And that one tribe, Judah, was a tribe through which God would bring the Messiah. That's the point I'm making here. And I want you to slow down and understand what I'm saying to you. If you were God and you wanted to represent yourself and manifest yourself and reveal yourself to humanity, how would you do it? How would you do it? The way he did it was, he chose a man, and that man had a son, and that man had two sons, and one of those two sons had 12 sons, and those 12 sons became the leadership of the nation of Israel. And then through that nation, he brings the Messiah, God himself, becoming flesh in the Messiah, in the tribe of Judah. So once you understand that God's eternal plan was that, yes, he would create man. Knowing that man was going to sin, knowing that man was going to rebel against him, and then knowing that he himself would have to become flesh in his own son, and that he himself would have to suffer ridicule and rejection and crucifixion, that he would be rejected, that he would have to go to the cross and embrace the sins of each and every one who would ever believe in him, receive him, and trust him. Now let me slow down a moment. I try to bring this out in message after message after message because I'm telling you, there are so many in the church today and so many in the nations of the world today and so many in the different expressions of religion in the world today who really truly do not understand the plan of salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There had to be a blood sacrifice. But that blood sacrifice had to be a sinless, willing blood sacrifice, and none would qualify except God in the flesh, in the Messiah, in Christ Jesus. He was both willing, he was willing, and he was capable. He was acceptable. Why? Because he had no sin. He was the, hear me carefully, sinless, willing blood sacrifice of God on the cross. The cross was the altar. Jesus, God the flesh, Messiah, was the offering himself. So once again, Romans 11:22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity? But toward you, Paul goes on, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. His severity in his temporary rejection of the Jews was revealed in his temporary rejection of the Jews. He did then. He has temporarily rejected the Jews. And then, in his goodness, love, mercy, and grace, his embracing the Gentiles. Glory be to God. Thank God he did embrace the Gentiles. Because we, me, you, many of us are part of that group. Now, Romans 11:23, and they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, speaking of Jews now, and also, they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Folks, listen to me carefully. God is not through with the Jews, not by a long shot. God is not through with Jews. Repenting, believing Jews can and will be grafted back into the body of Christ. And we have Jews today who have already been grafted back into the body of Christ, have been grafted into the body of Christ. Repenting, believing Jews can be, will be, grafted back in and join those of us who are believer priests among the Gentiles. Understand this. God set the Jewish nation aside for a season. He turned to the Gentiles. The Jews had rejected him. And then he opened up the door of salvation to the Gentiles. And he has still got that door open. And until that door is completed, until that time is completed, the Jews are set aside for a season. Now, yes, individual Jews get born again. But the nation of Jews as a whole have been set aside. But the day is coming. The day is coming. They're going to be grafted back in. Romans 11:24. Paul goes on, for if you, you Gentiles, were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? He's saying, you Gentiles, who are wild by nature, without God, and without hope, if you were grafted into the tree of life, Jesus is that tree of life. I am a Gentile who was grafted into the tree of life. Each and every one of us Gentiles who have been born again have been grafted into the tree of life. That tree of life, again, is Jesus, the Messiah. When we recognize, when that point in time came, and folks, hear me carefully. Listen, we were all born sinners. We were all born with a sin nature. I have taught this and taught this and taught this because I'm sometimes teaching people who think they're right with God because they belong to a specific religious organization. That won't get it done. You've got to be born again. You've got to become a new creation. You've got to be adopted into the family of God. Your body has got to become the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You've got to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Be adopted into the family of God. And he goes on. He says, you Gentiles, you were wild by nature. The Gentiles were without God, without hope. They had their own system of gods, their own systems of false religions, and we still have that today, folks. We still have multitudes who are involved in a system of religion, but without Christ, without God, without hope. Do you hear me? Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? Do you understand? We have millions upon millions of people in the world today who are wild by nature, just as we were. They're without God. They're without hope. That is the whole purpose of missions. That is why Childers Ministries is a missions ministry, taking the gospel many times into places where the gospel has never, ever, ever been heard before, taking it from time to time into places where they had never seen a white man until we sent one there. You have to understand. Now, we use natives. We use Filipinos. We use natural-born, native-born Filipinos as our church planters because they speak the language, the dialect, the customs, the cultures of the people. But you have to understand this. We, Gentiles, were wild by nature. We came out of the womb wild by nature without God and without hope because when you're without God, you're without hope. But we were grafted in too. God has grafted us, the Gentiles, into the tree of life. Who is that tree of life? Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah, is the tree of life. No religious organization is the tree of life. No religious organization can be the tree of life. Only Jesus. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. Men cannot be saved under the name of Mary. Men cannot be saved in the name of any other human being. No, Christ and Christ alone. How much easier? Well, if he did this, if he grafted those of us who are wild by nature, and we were wild by nature. We were wild, wild, wild. But God, in his love, his mercy, his grace, his omniscience, his omnipotence, God grafted us into the, quote, tree of life. And who is that tree of life? Jesus. Jesus the Christ. When you stop and think about it, and I wish you would for just a moment, the whole plan of salvation is a mind-boggling consideration. Before God ever created Adam and Eve, he had an eternal plan. He was going to create a universe. And in that universe, he was going to create a planet. He was going to call it Earth. And on that planet Earth, he was going to create man out of the dust of the ground. And then he was going to create woman out of the rib of that man. And then from those two people, he was going to initiate a population for the world. And part of that population sinned against God. And that divided the population to this day. At that time in the Garden of Eden, there came a separation in mankind. There were those who obeyed God. There was those who disobeyed God. To this day, that still exists. There are those today who have a heart for God, who belong to God, who are faithful to God. Abel was faithful in his sacrifice. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. And you have to receive the ultimate sacrifice because his sacrifice was on behalf of everyone who would receive him. He took my sins upon himself, your sins upon himself, and on that cross he put those sins to death in himself so that, once again, we could be made the righteousness of God. So, once again, Gentiles, he said, you were wild by nature, without God and without hope. And friend, when you're without God, you're without hope. When you are without God, you are without hope. And the only way you receive God into your life is through being born again. When you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, when you embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the only name given under heaven whereby men may be saved, then those of us who have received Christ Jesus have been grafted into the tree of life. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Messiah. So let me ask you this, and that's the point he's making here. How much easier will it be to graft the natural branches, the believing Jews, back into the tree of life? If he could graft us wild by nature, wild, estranged from God, Gentiles, if he could graft us into the tree of life, how much easier will it be to graft believing Jews back into the tree of life? Because he has a purpose. He has a plan. From eternity past, they were part of his purpose. They were part of his plan. It all began with a man named Abraham. Romans 11:25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinions, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Don't let that escape you. Put on your listening ears. Romans 11:25 again. Paul says, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Did you get that? Yes, spiritual blindness has in part happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Folks, that's a dynamite statement. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Spiritual blindness in Israel, the nation, for the most part, has been spiritually blinded. Yes, we have Jews for Jesus. Yes, we have a remnant, just a small remnant. But then you get down to it, or even among us, the Gentiles, there's a remnant. Among the population of the world, there's only a remnant. There's a remnant of Jews, a remnant of Gentiles, but now that remnant of Jews and that remnant of Gentiles have been made one in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we have been made one. So if for the moment, spiritual blindness has occurred in Israel. They are suffering spiritual blindness. Why? For rejecting truth. They rejected truth. They rejected the prophets. And then they rejected Jesus. Blindness, spiritual blindness, has happened to the nation of Israel. For the most part, there are those isolated individuals. There are those instances where a Jew is not spiritually blind, come to a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. But why did this happen? Why did this happen to the nation? Because of their rejection of Jesus. And I'm talking to people today. You have rejected Jesus. You have embraced a system of religion, but you have not embraced Jesus. That's exactly what was occurring in Israel. They were embracing a system of religion. You had the Pharisees, you had the Sadducees, you had the Essenes, but they were embracing, and you had those in positions of religious leadership who were embracing the religion, but denying the Messiah. They were embracing the system of religion. How many today are embracing a system of religion, but embracing a system of religion that does not properly present the Messiah? They are embracing a system of religion and rejecting the promised Messiah. That's what happened to Israel by the rejection of Jesus. Jesus was the promised Messiah. And for the most part, the nation rejected him. And in their rejection, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? In their rejection, they chose spiritual blindness, and we are living in a world full of spiritual blindness. We are living in a world full of religious spiritual blindness. We are living in a world full of counterfeit religion. We are living in a world full of spiritual blindness. Romans 11:26. Paul goes on, and so all Israel will be saved. That's big. All Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That day is yet future, but friend, it's coming. It's predicted, the word of God. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Romans 11:27. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. I want to read you a comment from a commentary about that verse. And so all Israel shall be saved. Now listen to this. To understand this great statement, as some still do, merely of such a gradual inbringing of individual Jews that there shall be at length remain none in unbelief, is to do manifest violence both to it and to the whole context. It can only mean the ultimate ingathering of Israel as a nation in contrast with the present remnant. In other words, Romans 11:26-27. And so all Israel, that is not saying that every single individual in the nation of Israel is going to be born again. Romans 11:27, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sin. Once again, let me read you this comment from Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, quote, and so all Israel shall be saved. To understand this great statement, as some still do, merely of such a gradual inbringing of individual Jews that there shall at length remain none in unbelief, is to do manifest violence both to it and to the whole context. It can only mean the ultimate ingathering of Israel as a nation in contrast with the present remnant. In other words, not all Israel will be born again. Not even all the disciples were saved. That's evidenced by Judas, isn't it? No, all of Israel is not going to be born again. No, not all the disciples were saved. Not all of Israel will be saved. Romans 11:28, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. You see, with the rejection of Christ, with their rejection of Christ Jesus and his crucifixion, they were regarded as enemies, and many times are regarded as enemies. But there are those among them who are of the elect just as we are. There are those among the Jews who are of the elect, and they have been elected, and they will be elected, and as such, they themselves are loved by God just as you are, just as I am. You need to understand that, child of God. God loves his people, whether they're Jew or Gentile. God loves his people. There will be Gentiles in hell. There will be Jews in hell. But all, Jew or Gentile, who believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we will go into eternity ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all of eternity. You have to understand this. Salvation is a gift and is therefore irrevocable. Look at Romans 11:29 again. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Salvation is a gift. It is irrevocable. Once saved, always saved, yes. You can't lose your salvation. You did nothing to earn it. You did nothing to gain it. It's a free gift. It's a free gift of God to those who are willing to receive, believe. Yes, I do believe. I teach. Once saved, always saved. Now, you may terminate your time on earth by your sin. You may expedite the date of your death through your sin and your rejection and your rebellion. But once you are adopted into the family of God, friend, you are in the family of God. Born again. Once you're born again, you cannot become unborn. You can't do it in the natural or the spiritual. Once you're born in the natural, you cannot become unborn. Grunt as hard as you want to, you can't do it. Once you're born in the natural, you cannot be unborn. Once you're born in the spiritual, you cannot be unborn. Romans 11:30. For as you were once disobedient to God, you have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, through the rejection of Christ as the Messiah by the nation's leadership. You, Gentiles, are now the recipients of the mercy of God. But understand this, folks. Hear my heart. God is not through with Israel. Make no mistake about it. You need to watch the signs of the times, and you need to be sensitive to the signs of the times. Hear me carefully. Jews have a major, major role in end time events. Romans 11:31. Even so, there also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. Get that carefully. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. In other words, the mercy of God is going to be revealed to them as it has been to you Gentiles. That's what Paul is saying. The mercy of God is going to be revealed to them as it has to you Gentiles. Romans 11:32. For God has committed them all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all. All, both Jew and Gentile, are guilty under the law. All of us, Jew and Gentile, we're guilty under the law. Yet, his love, his mercy, his grace has been extended to all, Jew or Gentile, black or white, regardless of nationality. His love, mercy, and grace has been extended to all who will believe and receive. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches of both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You understand this, folks. The human mind simply cannot comprehend the fullness of God. You can't do it, I can't do it. The human mind simply cannot comprehend the fullness of God, nor will we fully comprehend his fullness in eternity. There will never be a time in all of time and eternity when we fully, 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 completely comprehend the fullness of God. Romans 11:34, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? Indeed, Who among us, past, present, or future, has known the mind of God? Who? Who among us, past, present, or future, has known or will know the mind of God in its completeness? He has and revealed as much of his mind as we can comprehend. He's already done that. He has revealed as much of himself as we can comprehend. And the further you walk with him, the longer you are identified with him, the longer you praise him, love him, worship him, the more of himself he will reveal to you, but you will never comprehend him in his fullness, in his total fullness. He has and will reveal as much of his mind as we can comprehend. Now, a difficult verse, Romans 11:35. Who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? Verse 35 in another version. Who has first given to him, and it will be given back to him? I like this explanation of that. Quote, who hath laid God under any obligation? God's mercy without man's merit is the underlying truth. And that's the way it is. Romans 11:36. Of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. In another version, for to him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever, so be it. The Geneva Bible Notes, published back in 1599, explains Romans 11:36 this way. This is for God, to whose glory all things are ascribed, not only things that were made, but especially his new works, which he works in his elect. That's us, folks. Those of us who've been born again, we are the elect. We, as people of God, are charged with the responsibility of advancing the kingdom of God on earth today through obedience to the word of God, submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to avoid sin of every type, of every description in our everyday lifestyle. May God grant that each of us will be the salt and the light he enables and empowers us to be. Oh, Father God, take the message, I pray. Use it in some way to advance the kingdom of God and do damage to the kingdom of darkness. And if you'll do this, we'll give you the glory, the honor, the praise. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for being with us today on Challenge. And once again, till we get a chance to do this again, be blessed.